true story of La Familia Aguilar and Friends. The quarantena in their house. Hear what happens when...
¿Qué? ¿Quieres pelear? ¿Quieres pelear? ¿Quieres pelear?
Ah, yo sí me quiero quedar.
Eres una idiota.
Ya no soy tu abuelo.
Y luego Rosa para él. En medio de la noche dice, y fue en el frente.
Tío Luis, ya no soy tu nieto.
Mamá, era mí. Mamá, el Toby.
Can you hurry up?
¿Qué hizo?
Pues que deja la freña por donde quiera. Chivo, pero no antes de que me dé guardaditas.
Oye, pero no supe que me quiso dar a entender. Yo entro, yo le
¿sabes, Miss? ¿Sabes lo que te dijo ella? Cuando le dije, no vas a saludar. Ella te dijo.
Ahorita me lo va a aclarar. Acabo ya se va a acabar el mundo.
¡Ah! Ahí es.
They stop being polite and they start sharing, caring, and getting to know each other better than they thought they did. This is La Vida Real en Cuarentena.
Bueno, pues ese fue el nuevo intro de Nos Vemos en el Swap Meet, lo que iba a ser Nos Vemos en el Happy Hour, y lo que ahora es Nos Vemos en la Cuarentena. ¿Cómo cambian las cosas, no? Hace una semana estábamos como, ¿qué irá a pasar? Hace apenas 24 horas estábamos como, eso está empeorando, y ahora estamos completamente en cuarentena y las cosas siguen cambiando día a día. Es la 1:50 de la madrugada, sábado 21 de marzo, y solamente quiero dejarles saber que Nos Vemos en la Cuarentena ahora se va a volver en un diario de lo que mi familia está pasando, cómo ellos están teniendo una experiencia que obviamente nunca nadie nos prepara para. Y no quiero que esto sea como de pura tristeza, porque siento que nosotros como latinos, específicamente yo como mexicano, siempre, o la mayoría de las veces, tomamos una tragedia, y no es que nos burlemos de, pero para sobrellevar lo que se está viviendo, hacemos chistes, reímos y tratamos de burlarnos. Pero creo que sí es muy importante poder tener un diario digital, un diario en donde podamos expresar nuestros miedos, nuestras inquietudes y cómo estamos viviendo estos momentos, porque espero que no se vuelva a repetir jamás, porque esta incertidumbre, pues, o sea, es muy, pero muy fuerte. Entonces nada más quiero explicarles de esto. Creo que en el último episodio tocamos el tema un poquito, y pues también para decirles, cuídense. O sea, si no tienen que salir, por favor no salgan. Yo sé que eso es más fácil decirlo que hacerlo, porque desgraciadamente muchas personas no tienen esa oportunidad o ese privilegio de poder quedarse en casa. Entiendo. Y créanme que si no fuera por mis papás y no fuera por el apoyo que tengo de mi familia, yo no sé qué haría, porque ahorita en este momento ya no tengo ingresos. Ya Molcajete Dominguero no está sucediendo. Y sí, de repente la cagamos en no ahorrar, porque ahorita no tenemos dinero ahorrado. Porque no pensamos en situaciones como estas, ¿no? Nuevamente, no les digo para que se sientan pobrecitos, porque por ningún momento estoy desamparado, y al contrario, creo que soy una persona muy privilegiada en poder tener una familia que me está apoyando. Pero se los cuento porque creo que es importante. Creo que es importante el poder tener esta plataforma y el poder hacer un diario virtual, digital, etc. Y en el último episodio, pues básicamente estábamos hablando con Ro acerca de qué es lo que iba a ser el podcast. Escucharon que mamá entró, llegó de donar su tiempo y todo esto. Pues ese día nos fuimos a cenar a la casa de mi hermano, que nos invitó a cenar, que creo que fue el jueves, si no estoy mal. Y mientras estábamos en la cena, dieron esta noticia el gobernador del estado de California, que va a ser ya regla, ley, de que no poda, de no salir de las casas, a lo menos de que sea ir al mercado, ir a la farmacia, al doctor. Y creo que el escuchar esa noticia, pues nos hizo pensar en muchísimas cosas. Y lo primero que hicimos fue jugar Millennial Lotería, jugar el trompo con mi sobrino, con Ro, con mi hermana, mi papá, mi cuñada, mi hermano. Intentar despejarnos un momento. Entonces, creo que el recibir esa noticia y después ponernos a jugar fue como que, a ver, vamos a tranquilizarnos, todo va a estar bien. Entonces, quiero que sepan que de ahora en adelante, pues van a conocer muchísimo de mi familia, van a conocer muchísimo de mí aún más, porque quiero grabar durante la semana, durante los días, en las cenas, en los almuerzos, en cuando estemos conviviendo, quiero grabar y captar estos pensamientos y estos sentimientos, porque creo que es importante para que cuando mi sobrino crezca, para que cuando yo tenga mis hijos, sepan lo que estábamos viviendo en estos momentos. Sé que mi papá y mi mamá tienen miedo, nosotros tenemos miedo, pero ellos intentan tanto en no expresar ese miedo. ¿Cómo le están haciendo? No sé. Yo también, sé que Ro también, mi hermana, que todos estábamos súper contentos porque este año se iba a graduar de la universidad y pues obviamente le pospusieron la ceremonia. Y creo que todos estamos en ese mismo mood de incertidumbre. Entonces, el intro, les quería explicar que el intro es una parodia de un programa de televisión de los 90s que salía en MTV, que se llamaba The Real World. Yo siempre quise estar en este programa. Se me hacía súper padre el que 5 o 7 completos desconocidos los pusieran en una casa y que no iban a salir de ahí. Y que se iban a conocer y que iban a ser muy amables al principio y después se iban a agarrar de las greñas. Y siempre quise estar en ese programa. De hecho, una vez mandé un video para audicionar cuando cumplí mi mayoría de edad, pero nunca me escogieron. Entonces, ¿quién iba a decir que ahora sí iba a vivir la vida real en The Real World, ¿no? Entonces, por eso está ese intro. Y si están muy jóvenes, los odio, pero si están muy jóvenes que no se acuerdan de ese programa de televisión, pues vayan a YouTube y pónganle The Real World y van a ver de lo que estoy hablando. Entonces, por eso decidí hacer mi intro como una parodia de este programa de televisión. Y entonces, lo que van a escuchar ahorita a continuación es el discurso que dio el gobernador y, en el fondo, mi familia tratando de despejarnos un momento, porque creo que es importante. Y en los próximos días vamos a seguir subiendo episodios entre Ro, la familia y yo. Voy a tratar de grabar conversaciones, vamos a hacer preguntas, de repente vamos a tener momentos en donde vamos a platicar de cosas que a lo mejor nos van a llegar al corazón, porque creo que es importante que en estos momentos, y ustedes háganlo también, platiquen con su familia, no nada más se queden ahí atorados en los celulares viendo memes y en el TikTok y viendo cosas que, más allá de ayudarnos, nos están alejando más y nos están haciendo caer más en este estrés mental, ¿no? Entonces, platiquen con sus papás, platiquen con sus hijos, platiquen con sus tías, tíos, las personas que están ahí en su casa. Y si no están con alguien en la casa porque viven solos, hablen con sus amistades. El día de hoy Tuve una videollamada con Marco que duró casi 2 horas. Marco, muchas gracias, güey. Neta, muchas, muchas gracias. Te quiero un chingo. Y gracias por escucharme. Gracias por siempre estar ahí. Y espero que mis consejos también te ayuden de algo. Entonces, pues bueno, los dejamos aquí con el mensaje del gobernador. Y por favor, si pueden y tienen el privilegio, el lujo de quedarse en sus casas, por favor, háganlo.
That the virus will impact about 56% of us. You do the math in the state of California, that's a particularly large number. That number in and of itself shouldn't be overly alarming. The vast majority of us, the overwhelming majority of us, won't have symptoms, will be perfectly fine. But there is a subset that we're concerned about that will impact, not be impacted by the virus, but also potentially can impact others, including impacting our capacity to deliver the high quality services, not only to meet the moment as it relates to COVID-19, but to provide for all the acute care that millions and millions of Californians depend on every single day. So we're looking at a hospitalization rate by using those numbers. And forgive me, I know sometimes these numbers get confusing, but a 56% attack rate, if you assume that R-naught, which is the number of individuals that you may come in contact with that can contract the virus, if you use that formula, we believe with a 20% hospitalization rate, a little bit on the higher end, though some would argue it could be much higher, some believe it might be much lower, but 20% hospitalization rate, it's about 19,543 people that would need to be hospitalized under that scenario, above the existing capacity of our system. So that's the planning methodology we've been using. I'm being very straight with you. These are numbers I can assure you, governors, mayors, administration across the country are working with. But I think it's time to tell you what I tell my family, what I tell my wife, just as I did 2 nights ago when I told my daughter, and I don't believe that this school year she'll get back into that classroom. And those are difficult conversations, and I know they're conversations you're having in real time, and you're having with one another as I speak. And I deeply appreciate the anxiety of these difficult conversations, but we must have them. But as we work through that planning process, 19,543 beds in our system, I'm able to look at our existing capacity. Let me be specific of what our existing capacity looks like. We have 416 hospitals in the state of California. We have capacity to provide care beyond our hospital system, but within the hospital system, we have capacity to surge the number of beds beyond the 78,000 currently staffed beds by an additional 10,207. By the way, that number changes on a daily basis, but that's today's number. So looking at the 19,500 plus individuals in our planning, looking at that surge capacity, about 10,000, we are looking at a delta, a gap, that requires about 10,000 beds, 10,000 members of the community to staff those beds. And that's currently what we're up against. But here's the point. That's a planning document. If we change our behaviors, that inventory will come down. If we meet this moment, we can truly bend the curve to reduce the need to surge, reduce the need to have to go out and cobble all those assets together. Though I want you to know, we are doing just that. We always plan, we always anticipate. Let me give you some proof points. Today, we just secured a very large hospital in Northern California, Seton. It's now part of our portfolio, and we're going to populate that hospital as an example to meet the moment. Tomorrow, we'll announce a hospital in Southern California. That's 750 beds, those two hospitals combined. We start to stack this, 750 here. The motels that we're currently in, hotels we're currently in, negotiating with, we start stacking those master leases for those hotels. We're working, I had very, very positive conversations with the leaders of two of the finest public university systems in the world, UC and the California State University System. We're working with those systems to identify appropriate dormitories to help us with the surge. We start stacking those numbers. We're working with the federal government. I had a conversation today with Vice President Pence and President Donald Trump together on the phone, talking about our needs, in addition to my conversation today with the Secretary of Defense about these mobile medical field units that they have committed to pledging, not just to California, but to folks all across this country. You start stacking those things, and we have, I believe, the capacity to meet this moment, but not unless we change our behaviors and do what is necessary to meet this moment. Let's bend the curve together. Let's not regret. Let's not dream of regretting. Go back, say, well, you know, we could have, would have, should have. Now in the data, all points to where I think most of us know we're going. One has to be transparent. One has to be honest. It's difficult at times being the bearer of these messages. I can assure you, home isolation is not my preferred choice. I know it's not yours, but it's a necessary one. We started with seniors 65 and over, the most vulnerable population, and we'll continue to overly focus on that population and those with compromised immune systems. But we now need to broaden it to all Californians. So that's the order we're putting out today. It's consistent with the leadership we've seen at the local level, including, I want to acknowledge Mayor Garcetti and others in Los Angeles and LA County that are recognizing and meeting this moment as well. In addition, I want to thank Speaker Nancy Pelosi. We had a very long conversation today. Talk about meeting the moment. We're so blessed to have her leadership in California. She's very familiar in Northern California, certainly familiar to me as former mayor of San Francisco. Our conversation was not only about what she has done and what is being done in the Senate as we speak, but what will be needed over the course of the next number of months as we come back, as we recover, as we will. This is not a permanent state. This is a moment in time. And we will meet this moment together. And we will look back at these kinds of decisions as pivotal decisions. If we're to be criticized at this moment, let us be criticized for taking this moment seriously. Let us be criticized for going full force and meeting this virus head on. We're doing so today in the state of California through this order, and we're doing so by continuing to build collaboration and partnership across every level of government and the private sector. Let me conclude by just making a few points to fill in that. We had today a very important conversation. It was punctuated earlier today by President Trump in his press conference with the CEO of Gilead. It's a California-based company around treatments. I want to compliment the president in his focus on treatments. It is a focus of positivity as we work to bridge towards a vaccine. It was a very encouraging conversation. It's a conversation that we can have with many other CEOs of companies, not just in the state of California, but for that matter, around the rest of this country and around the rest of the world. There are treatments in trial. Our UC system, all five hospitals, are already actively engaged in those treatments and the courses that are part of some of these antivirals and some of these medicines that you have all learned about today because of the president's announcement. That's very encouraging. We want to continue to build capacity and build partnerships. Along those lines, we are working to build capacity and partnerships to get more protective gear in the state of California. You've all been seeing headlines. Some of them we've driven by our own anxieties in that space. Others by their own limitations and access and gowns and gloves, glasses, and other protective gear. Here's the good news in the state of California. I was talking to the Vice President and President today, thanking them for the first national stockpile transfer of assets that we just received, where we received quite literally hundreds of thousands of gloves and face masks, not just N95, but also surgical masks. But we're going to be starting to get that cache of assets out into our diverse communities throughout the state of California. Many of you know we had our own cache, their own storage of N95 masks. We still have 10 million of those masks, and we are getting them out in real time. We started with 21 million. We have about 10 million still as we distribute those. We've distributed those first 11 to 55 counties in the state, and we'll continue to get those N95 masks out there. And we recognize that distribution can't happen fast enough. We also talked to a well-known entrepreneur today around ventilators. As many of you know that have followed our press conferences here in the state, we have 7,587 ventilators in our hospital system. We have 514 through a cache at the Department of Public Health that are being repurposed. We have an additional 200 in our EMSA cache that we are repurposing, and then we ordered an additional 200. But we're going to need to increase the manufacturing of those ventilators, and we are working with the private sector and well-known entrepreneurs to consider to help us in that respect as well, starting to repurpose some of the manufacturing in the state to meet the moment, particularly to prepare for our seniors and others that may need that support. So again, this is a difficult moment, and this is one that I know is filled with deep anxiety as a father, a husband, as a parent of four young kids, to families in particular, to folks that have had to drop their kids, no longer drop off at school, but now are living with their kids 24/7, putting together, you know, learning plans, trying to figure out, you know, the nomenclature of what their seventh grade science teacher understands. And I think all of us are coming to appreciate our teachers. We're all coming to appreciate each other, I think, a little bit more. We don't see this through the lens of rural, urban. We certainly don't see it through the lens of a Republican and Democrat. I think we're all human beings deeply capable of loving one another, meeting this moment, and beginning to love ourselves enough to recognize it's our individual decisions that are going to determine our capacity moving forward. COVID-19.ca.gov. COVID-19.ca.gov is a site we put up to provide information. We'll be putting more detailed information out in the next hours and days about the exemptions to the stay-at-home order. But again, for those living in many of the Northern Californias are impacted, you're very familiar with those exemptions. And for those of you who are not, again, we're going to keep the grocery stores open. We're going to make sure that you're getting critical medical supplies. You can still take your kids outside practicing common sense and social distancing. You can still walk your dog. You can still pick up that food at one of our distribution centers, at a restaurant, at a drive-through, all those things we will still be able to do. And to secure that, in closing, I want folks to know that we've lost a lot of volunteers that, you know, simply are concerned and understandably are staying at home. And our food banks and others that have relied on volunteers and the community spirit need a little support. And so we're going to provide that support. This shouldn't be alarming, it's humanitarian only, but we'll send out about 500 of our extraordinary leaders in the National Guard to help with the distribution and the food, again, just purely humanitarian. And we'll be announcing some very, very exciting partnerships with social media companies like Nextdoor to provide kits, information, Q&As to, you know, start to check in on loved ones, check in on your neighbors. Things that you need, one-pagers, so you know what kind of things you need at home to protect yourself. Those that are socially isolated, our seniors struggling with loneliness as much or more than anything else, to make sure we reach out, maybe call five people a day, just check in on them. So we've got a whole kit we put out with that social media company, and we're going to be doing more with AmeriCorps and Conservation Corps in the state of California. All of this in the spirit of meeting the moment, including the spirit of reaching out to those that are healthy, young, those that can make an appointment, be socially appropriate in terms of their distancing, to get blood drawn to help those in need. Our blood banks need support. Interestingly, we are not able to provide, because we're not doing the large blood draws and fairs, the kind of capacity to see the past. The good news about the social isolation, in some respects, the need in the short term has gone down, so it shouldn't be alarming, but we want to meet the moment if indeed our blood banks need additional resources as well. So again, it's a spirit of the moment, stepping up, stepping in, recognizing our own individual capacity to meet this moment, not just relying on others, doing it safe and thoughtfully. And again, I just cannot express more appreciation for the collaborative spirit that has defined this moment across agencies, across jurisdictions, across this country, into the White House, the Pentagon, Health and Human Service agencies, across this country, sharing best practices across state and across the state. We're here to answer any questions. I've got a team assembled behind me, and I thank all of you from the state of California for recognizing this moment.
El agua de Jamaica.
Vuelve el agua de Jamaica. El huevo.
El Catrín.
¿Es el Catrín?
Es un taxino porque tiene un taxino.
El hipster.
El hipster. El umbrella. Uh-huh. El army.
Uh-huh.
El fidget spinner.
Yes.
¿Qué es?
La señora. ¿Qué es
la señora?
¿La señora?
Uh-huh. El float backs.
El key.
El key. ¿Sí? Y es que el skull.
El skull trooper.
Hey, what is this one?
La pluma.
La pluma. El mermaid. El Coachella.
Oh, bingo. Oh, no.
You won.
No, I thought that.
Come on, papi.
Oh,
bingo. Son dos tarjetas, eh?
Boy, what's on this one?
Yeah, a student dead.
A student dead. A yoga.
Bingo, bingo.
You won again?
A Lotería Nacional. Lotería Nacional Mexicana. Gané. Gané!
Founded el.
Man, I just needed. What is this?
El Bitcoin.
Ah, oh, I just needed the Bitcoin.
A ladder.
La escalera.
La escalera.
Okay, toma todo.
Now we're gonna play the other game.
Yeah, the other one.
Let's play the other one.
Yeah.
Qué
padre, me gustó este concepto de que el niño diga lo que ve. El army.
Eras músico. Sí, güey, yo también pensaba que eras, güey.
¿Cuál es la
guitarra? Ay, ¿cómo se parece a todos? Ya, bye.
Ay. ¿Cómo se llama?
Mira,
quieren este, más arroz, le dan de comer más
mira,
arroz.
Es igualito. Mira.
Le dan más cobijas al arroz. No le hacen ruido a arroz.
Pancakes arroz.
Le dan pancakes arroz.
Te voy a poner
tres tazas de café, grandes arroz.
A ver, enséñame. Ahí está. ¿Qué? Tú sí eres, güey. Oh, no lo grabé. No lo grabé.
Richard, bring the game.
Okay, ready? Here we go. Ahora va, vamos a jugar.
¿Qué vamos a poner, frijolito?
No, don dinero.
¿Pero cómo? A ver,
lo que dice aquí vamos a hacer.
Explíquenme.
Pero okay. Cuando dice toma, pero dos, toma
shot,
dos
shot,
de
los dineros.
Shot, shot, shot.
No. Pues ahorita sí. No hay shots. A ver, ahí va.
Toma uno,
pero
toma
no pusiste
uno.
Nada. Tenemos que empezar todos con
uno. Ah, con uno, okay.
Put a coin, Ricky.
Here we go. Todos pongan un coin, put a coin.
Go, Richie.
Con tu corazón.
Oh, no, ahí tienes.
Put a coin. ¿Qué
yeah,
falta?
That one, Ricky.
¿Cuántos somos?
Cada quien va a dar una cuenta.
Sí, papi, you gotta put one.
Yeah.
¿Cuántos somos? ¿Quieres sentar un rato, mamá?
¿Cuántos somos?
3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
¿Ahí ya son 7? All right, here we go. Toma uno. So I take one.
Right.
¿Te toca, hijo?
Vene, papi, ¿cuál es? Como tú puedas. Ya, like that. Oh.
Toma dos.
Oh.
Toma dos, papá.
Take two.
Toma,
quítale.
Toma, take two.
One,
eso.
All right, here we go. Asumecha.
¡Ay!
Todos
ponen.
¡Ay!
gonna get tested.
Go, hoodie, go, hoodie, go, hoodie.
If you win, you're getting tested. This is ours.
Oh my god.
Alright, so now we all put.